Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Caplin Laboratories Limited Q1 FY 2024 conference call hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I, Rashmi Shetty, healthcare analyst from Dolat Capital, extend a warm welcome to everyone joining us today to discuss Q1 FY 2024 earnings con call of Caplin Point Laboratories. On this call, we have with us Mr. C.C. Paarthipan, Chairman, Mr. Vivek Partheeban, COO, Dr. Sridhar Ganesan, Managing Director, Mr. Muralidharan, CFO, and Mr. Satyanarayana, Deputy CFO. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rashmi. Hello and good morning to everyone. Welcome to our earnings call to discuss the results of Q1 of 2023 and 2024. Please note that a copy of all our disclosures are available on the investor section of our website, as well as on the stock exchanges. Please note that anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. The conference call is being recorded, and the transcript along with audio of the same will be made available on the company's website as well as the exchanges. Also, do note that the audio of this conference call are copyright material of Caplin Point and cannot be copied, rebroadcasted, or attributed in press or media without specific written consent of the company. Now, I would like to hand over the floor to our chairman for his opening remarks.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our investors call. First, the saying of Brad Gilbert, "A good result in the present is not an indicator of good result in future, but a good processes." Now, let us look at our sustainable progress and process of our business. Value Research report on June 2022 rated Caplin as number one in India for most consistent profitable growth across the last 10 years. Further, Economic Times noted Caplin as the second-largest wealth creator for the decade ending 2020. Our ROE and ROCE has been unique in the last 10 years compared to our peers. Currently, the liquid assets of Caplin Point stands at 1,540 crore as on 30th June 2023, which includes 807 crore of cash and cash equivalents. It's not the profit in the book, but cash in the bank. I'm also sure that you would agree with me, truth does not require maintenance, and truth cannot be day-traded too. Our operating manual for longevity, which details of what has been completed and what we are currently doing, which is in the form of work in progress, and how it will strengthen the company in the years to come. Now, let us look at Caplin Point One. We call it as CP1, where we manufacture and export our products to Latin America. Here, we created a second line for softgel formulation, and we just started to increase the revenues. We also have registered 92 products in Chile using our CP1, and most of the products, in addition to that, more of our products are also in the pipeline. We are moving one of our marketing guy from Central America to Chile to start our warehouse business model in Chile. Now, Caplin Steriles. You are aware that the U.S. FDA inspection is completed successfully after 4.5 years. Our phase two will become operational in October and will be shifting most all the terminal sterilized product to phase two. The present state-of-the-art machineries will increase the production multifold. The status of phase two, phase three of Caplin Steriles and our creation of U.S. front end and digitalization will be detailed by COO after I complete my speech. Now, we are in the middle of the good growth story and the fundamentals are as follows. First, the one that are completed and also the one that are work in progress. R&D for API, which is for general API and OnCore API. We have already completed TTD, tech transfer documents, ready for exhibits. Once we complete our API facilities, the general one in 6 months and the oncology one in 1 year from now. R&D for injectable for US, you are aware that we have been actually filing the documents. We also obtained 18 ANDAs using this R&D. Now, the rest of it in the form of actually, you know, the TTDs that are ready will be detailed by the COO. The Onco injectables is a work in progress. It will be completed at least 25 to 30 products in the next 2 years from now, both for Onco injectables and Onco OSD in the form of tablet and capsule. The CRO, which you are aware, has already been completed. Currently, we are doing these studies for Chile. We'll also do it for Mexico, US, and Chile in future too. Caplin Onco, the tablet and capsule will be ready in 6 months from now. And injectables will take 1 year for the completion. And we already received an order of some $4 million from Latin America, which we will manufacture in a CMO. And this clearly shows that you have huge opportunity not only in the regulated markets, but also in the ROW market for the oncology product that we are planning to manufacture in future. The product that we received now, although it will be manufactured in a CMO, the testing will be conducted in our QC and QA before export. And the general OSD, the construction is in progress and is about to be completed between 18 to 24 months before we start the commercials. Once we complete the entire activities in 2 years, Caplin will be any other company in the form of good to great with all segments of pharmaceutical formulations and API, which is known as vertical integration. That's what is happening with all the big boys in India. Whether you are aware that our sustainability and reasonable scalability is already ensured without all these new initiatives. However, with all these activities that we are about to complete in 2 years would make a lot of difference. And let me give you the key differentiators as follows. You will have new projects, and most of these projects are for the regulated market, and these are all bigger projects which are likely to happen, as I told you before, in 18 to 24 months, some of them in 6 months, some of them in 12 months too. And we will move to bigger markets in addition to maintaining our business in the smaller markets. Number three, we will continue to be a debt-free company with strong cash flows. For example, you have already invested 500 crore in the capex in the last 5 years. If you add this 500 crore with our liquid assets of 1,540 crores, it will be in the region of 2,040 crores. This is in addition to the operating cost for the last 5 years. Our CSL is not just a CMO like most of the companies of our size. We own 18 ANDAs and many more to come. The new normal in our company is in the form of employee engagement. For example, what I have found in Caplin Steriles, I have found actually some of the operators and first line managers who are coming for the cash shift. They are from the bottom of the pyramid. I just checked with some of the people as I am staying closer to the factory now. I have come to know they all live in actually one room houses. I asked them, in case if your child, which is 2 years or 3 years old, come and actually wake you up, what will you do? Will you wake up or continue to sleep? He said, I will not be able to sleep. I will definitely wake up, which means, you know, it will create fatigue for him when he comes to work. Then I told them, we are appointing new boys, freshers, most of them are bachelors. And if you develop these boys, they will relieve you actually from the tax shift and they are very happy to accept it. Now, we are building a hostel for 120 to 130 freshers who will stay here. They'll get three tents for the food and accommodation. We are also creating a small playground for them as a recreation also after they complete the work. In addition to that, we will also ensure increments, performance bonus, and attractive ESOPs, which you are aware that we have been actually offering to retain the talent. Finally, ours is a journey of passion, purpose, and potential for all stakeholders. And it's not the concept of red rubber ball. You throw a ball against a concrete wall and it just bounces off. It looks pretty and makes nifty noise, but the wall does not move. Our business is not maintaining the status quo. It's a journey for passion for excellence. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now I move to COO. I will ask COO to give his presentation.
Thank you, Chairman. Once again, welcome to everyone that is part of the call. I will give you a little update on the regulated markets business and also an insight into the company's digitalization activities going on. So as Chairman said, our USFDA audit has been completed and we are satisfied with the outcome. All of the observations that we have seen were procedural in nature and nothing to do with repeat observations or data integrity. In fact, if we were to take a clue from the USFDA website, our status has already been updated as VAI, which is what we were expecting. But of course, officially, we need to have the EAR in our hands before we can declare it, you know. So obviously, this is a satisfactory outcome for us after not having an audit for the last 4 years. And it shows that, you know, we've been significantly improving our processes, automating our processes, and also creating a good culture of compliance at the company for so long. An important step for us in our US and regulated market journey is our establishment of a front-end presence over there. As you know, Kaplan's mantra in the last two decades has been being closer to the customer. So in left-handed markets, in markets where you know, front-end presences have been few and far between, we were able to successfully do that in Latin America. The U.S. obviously is a much more mature market. So even though we could have probably done it a little while back, we did not have the right amount of products or the right portfolio of products for us to launch a label. We feel right now is the time for that, and we're in the process of incorporating our company over there. And in the next 6 to 8 months, we should have all of the licenses in the 50 states for us to launch our own label there. Several years ago, exhibitions such as CPHI, IFEX, etc., bridged the gap between the markets and the manufacturers. Similar to this, there are multiple fairs and meets that are available in the U.S. that we will start to participate in through our front end, just to understand the unmet needs of the underinsured and uninsured population there. And sticking true to our pattern, we want to cater to the bottom of the pyramid, also in the largest market in the world. Once we establish our presence over there and then sales starts coming in, we expect the profitability to be boosted by this move because we are currently sharing 50% of our profits with our front-end partners. We may still continue to supply existing products and even potentially a couple of the new products to front-end because we need to have a hybrid model of making sure that the larger players continue to operate in the GPO and other spaces, whereas we try and occupy the tier one, tier two spaces that we've been doing in Latin America also. Coming to numbers, we had a good Q1, and in line with our guidance, we expect moderate Q1 and Q2 performance with much stronger growth in Q3 and Q4 when our additional line 5 comes into operation. Line 5 will be used specifically for terminally sterilized products, and today over 70% of our products are terminally sterilized, and we will be focusing much more on the commercial products, so our output will significantly be boosted in Q3 and Q4 of this year. Please also note that we are continuously doing exhibit batches, which is the last step before filing ANDAs, throughout this time as well, despite having multiple products that are approved and then in the process of commercializing. Many companies may make the mistake of choosing only commercial over what is going to be driving long-term growth, which is the ANDAs that we will continue to file. You know, so in line with that, we have almost 14-15 products that are under stability right now, which we will file over the next 4 to 5 quarters. Our overall pipeline remains robust with over 55 products that are under various stages of development. This includes injectables and suspensions, emulsions in bags, plastic vials, ophthalmic emulsions, etc. Additionally, we have also done several filings in Canada, South Africa, Mexico, Australia, and Philippines, and this will start to get approved sometime next year and the years after that. As we evolve as an organization in the regulated markets, we are also taking up higher complexity products for development shortly. We've shortlisted 4 to 5 highly complex drug device combinations for development that we intend to file in the next 2 years. Being highly complex in nature, we see that there is minimal price erosion in this segment. Once they start to come through, we'll have a very differentiated basket of products comprising the entire gamut of offerings that are used in the hospital or any critical care segment. Added to this, our backward integration initiative is starting to pick up steam. We foresee completion of the API projects in the next few quarters, and we will start using this site initially to qualify as a second source API for our existing products and primary source for our new and more complex formulations. In this day of continuing shortages in the US, we feel that having good control over our input materials will certainly hold us in good stead compared to peers of a similar size. I'll take a couple of minutes to explain our move towards digitalization towards the entire organization. 2 years ago, especially during the late stage of COVID, we started to take up overall automation activities at our plants. We implemented LIMS system at Kaplan Steriles and also at Amaris Clinical, our CRO. And right now, our quality control, microbiology, and soon validation activities are all close to being as paperless as possible. Soon, we will start implementing the process of also having electronic batch manufacturing records and batch packing records to become a truly paperless facility. All of our training modules, document archival and retrieval modules, etc., are already automated. Our CRO has actually been completely automated from day one, whichever areas that require manual handling. So the fact that we've gotten through 3 audits without any observation is a testament to the controls that we have in place there. We've also implemented SAP across all locations, and we start to see the benefit of that. As a unique player that is focused on an end-to-end business model, our supply chain strength is the bloodline for the company, and this SAP implementation has already started to make our processes more aligned and predictable. As the world moves towards AI and associated evolution, we at Kaplan have already started embracing this shift. Our latest procurement has been towards machines and equipment with AI and machine learning enabled. These will be particularly useful in specific equipment related to visual inspection of the vials, leak detection of the bags, testing apparatus involved in continuous manufacturing, etc. Overall, we feel that as a company, we're on the cusp of breakout growth with all of the CapEx and R&D that we're investing in. The next couple of years will be crucial in charting our next trajectory of growth. Most importantly, we are doing all of this with internally accrued funds and not taking external loans, and we are living within our means. And at the end of this, we feel that we will be similar to what the top 15 to 20 companies of India have done before. Our intention is to ensure that we remain cash surplus despite this huge CapEx outflow, and our bottom line and cash flow remains a benchmark during this whole process of our next level growth for the company and all stakeholders. Now I request our CFO to give his remarks before we open the floor for questions.
Good morning, Mr. Vivek. Good morning to one and all who have taken time to take part in the investors call of Kaplan Point Laboratories, discussing the Q1 results of FY23-24. Right? We have had a very gratifying quarter. Why gratifying? Because of the following reasons. The revenues have grown. Revenues have grown by 13.1% over the last year's corresponding quarter. And more than that, the profit has grown by 19.3%. EBITDA has grown by 19.3%. And PBT has grown by 20.8%. PAT has also grown by... This evidences that our costs are under control, our gross margins are under growth. And then on all the parameters, we have had a very good ratios in terms of they have increased as compared to the last year and the previous quarter as well. The EBITDA is at 34%. And PBT is at 31.2% and PAT at a significant 25.6%. It is also gratifying for the following reasons. Whatever our turnover was for the full year, 2017, which is 401.64 on an annualized basis, is less than the current quarter's turnover of 407.36 crores. That is, the turnover has gone fourfold in the last 5 years. Coming to PBT, our whole year's PBT was 122 crores, 121.78 crores to be precise, is already achieved in the first quarter of current year, which is 126.99 crores. Coming to PAT, our whole year PAT was 96.16 crores in 2017.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has disconnected. Please continue to stay on hold while we attempt to reconnect them. Thank you.
Disconnect ஆயிருச்சு அவன் திருப்பி ரீகனெக்ட் பண்ண ட்ரை பண்றேன்னு சொல்லிருக்கேன்.
I'm okay. I'm on the line.
Yeah. I think we can continue. My CFO is also with me right now.
Yeah, we can continue. Because
gentlemen, thank you for being on hold. The line for the management is now reconnected. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Our CFO will continue his comments now and then we will open the floor for questions after that. Just half a minute, please.
Sorry for the disturbance. Actually, I don't know where it got disconnected. I don't mind repeating what I said. Actually, it's a very gratifying quarter in terms of all ratios, be it revenue growth, be it gross margin percentage, or EBITDA growth. So we have delivered a very good quarter. I was just mentioning that whatever the annual turnover, annual profit before tax, annual profit after tax, we have achieved it in the first quarter of 2023-24 itself. That is the turnover was 401 crores in the whole of 2016-17, which we have delivered in the first quarter. That is, 407.36 crores is what we have realized in the first quarter of current year. Coming to profit before tax, 121.78 was the whole year profit before tax for the year 2017, which we have already realized in the terms of 126.99 crores in the first quarter of current year. And coming to PAT, whole year's PAT was 96.16 crores in 2017. We are at 104.23 crores and a wonderful 25.3% PAT level, which is a very significant milestone. And in terms of cash and cash equivalents, which we lay stress on, has more than it's grown 5 times. What we had 152 crores in 2019 end, we are at 772 crores and it has grown to 807 crores as of June 23. This has been our strength, and as Chairman has put it and Mr. Vivek has reinstated, we will always lay focus on our cash and cash flow and then the work in progress. So this is from my side. We would be glad to take any questions, and over to Mr. Vivek for his comments.
Thank you, sir. So we can open the floor for questions now, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM Financial PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question and congrats on great set of numbers. So my question is on, you know, Captain Sterile. It's been heartening to see that we are, you know, 45 crores, closer to 50 crores. And the addressable market is $5 billion for the, you know, and that we have filed and what we have. My question is, you know, beyond FY24, if I'm taking a three-year view, where do we see this division? Because, you know, we will also see oncology scaling up. And in terms of scale and profitability, and, you know, how are we looking at, you know, investing into this? I mean, I'm talking about investing into front end, because companies, as they scale, you know, invest their resources back into the business to keep profits, you know, and improve their own business. Just wanted your view.
Yeah, request chairman to take.
Yeah, okay. Coming to Captain Sterile, the most important one is actually our phase 2 and phase 3. The reason being, the last 10 years we have been actually continuing to do business with legacy machines. And the one, everyone when he starts a project, especially if he's a non-technocrat, he may not be very thorough actually in terms of selection of actually machineries and people. Now, after having been in this business for 10 years, and that too, currently I am next to the factory. I am in a position to understand the character and quality of my product people, and I am also in the process of building a culture. Second, the machineries that we have are all state-of-the-art machineries. Many of them are from Germany, and some of them from Italy, and the best of the best also from India. So the capacity of the machines are going to be manifold now. So we are very sure that the production capabilities will increase, and that alone actually can give us a bigger advantage in terms of export A. B, whenever people say there is a shortage in US market, especially in generics, it is a simple actually mental arithmetic that, you know, when there is a shortage of a product, the price has to go up, because the shortage means supply is less and the demand is more. It is true that they say there is a shortage, but the profit doesn't actually increase for the manufacturer. The reason being, the manufacturer has not set up the front end. That's what we are planning to do now. We have already sent a person to create our actually front end office there, and the CEO of the company will leave on the 20th, and every 2 months he will spend 15 days actually in US to understand how exactly, you know, we will be in a position to identify the uninsured and underinsured. In addition to that, currently we have around 570 people, of which 540 are Latins, and many of them, they have their own roots actually in US. And you know, the second largest population in US is Latins. We already identified some people from our Latin American team to go and work in the market to understand which are the products that moves well. This will also help us two things. One, you will not be in a position to register a product which may or may not have scope in future. B, you will get the information from the market, not from the, not in addition to IMS and the other one. Mostly the data that we see that comes actually from the, not from the bottom of the pyramid, is more of actually the one which is in the form of tender business, or from the one who import actually. If you look at US, there are three or four major companies that import the products, and the data gets reflected in IMS. But when we work in the market, when we attend the exhibitions, as actually the CEO told, that is the time we will come to know what kind of customers who come to this exhibition, what type of information which is the real knowledge, because you know very well information is not knowledge, and opinion is not a fact. So all these things we will come to know as we enter in the market. This is with regard to Caplin Sterile. Coming to Caplin Onco, today the ROW business is very, very attractive, and we will enter into markets like US and Europe also, but the focus will be on ROW until we get the regulatory approvals. As a token, we in fact, you know, we have tried to see how exactly the market responds. And it's very important to tell you also that we have a loan license company with a EU approved facility in the north. And this one, we already registered also 20 to 30 products and some countries even 40 products, for which we received a very good order. We are planning to manufacture in the next 3 months as a CMO. And in addition to testing in their own lab, as I told you before, we'll also test it in our lab and send it, because we always value quality as very important, because the reputation, especially the character and reputation in pharmaceutical industry, is very, very important. Otherwise, you are aware actually what is happening worldwide today. We don't want those things to happen when we manufacture a product, whether it is oncology product or any other product that we outsource in India or China. So the business, as I told in the course of my talking, is the work in progress is much more actually a bigger opportunity than the current one, because the markets, all 6-7 markets put together where we are in Central America, as I told before, it's not even the population of Tamil Nadu. This is the business which has brought around 1,200 crore with sufficient cash flow and good profits. The remaining 300 crore, 200 crore has come from US and another 100 crore from West Africa. And although we received 200 crore in US, which is going to be, as you know, this is the gold standard of the international, in the world market. One day, this will definitely be the best market for us, although we are not the early entrant. We may be the last man standing, and we are sure we'll be the last one to get affected and the least one to get affected. Thank you. I hope I answered your questions.
Sure, sir. In terms of scale in 3 years, sir, the US currently they're running at around 45 crores a quarter, given that, you know, the addressable market for our product is 5 billion.
In fact, we have a lot of orders from the US market. As I told you, the phase 2 production will start in October. And whatever missed in the first and second quarter will be offset in third and fourth quarter. The machineries, as I told you before, are German machines and the state-of-the-art machines from India and Italy. The machines are capable of doing something extraordinary compared to our legacy machines in our phase one. So the sale of 45 crore is not the one which we are going to continue. This will double from the third and fourth quarter.
Sure, sir. And sir, can you talk a little bit on the PSAS opportunity in Latin America, sir, that 8 products that we have filed?
Yeah, so similar to the soft gel, I will just explain. So similar to the soft gel segment that we had launched a few years ago, which we've seen quite a lot of growth and quite a lot of profitability coming out of that segment, we realized that this PFS segment is something that is very, very underpenetrated. In fact, outside of the very large branded companies, almost there is no competition in this space, because it's a highly technical area also. We started out with a couple of products last year, and we've seen that there is a significant amount of interest and there is a lot of repeat sales as well, you know. So what we typically try and do is, wherever there is a product that is available as an ampoule or a vial, and it can be administered directly at clinics and stuff, we try to replicate this into the form of a pre-filled syringe, so that you remove one step in the equation. And number two is also the fact that many of these products that we have launched also have an oral equivalent of them. You know, so that's how we have looked at it. Still very early stages in this segment, but we remain quite positive on the overall profitability of this segment.
One final question before I get back to the queue is on profitability. Already in this quarter, we have seen that below the gross margin, we have seen a good 180 bits expansion, which I would assume is primarily operating leverage and good cost control. Now, given that, you know, the base of infrastructure is in place, and the growth is just taking off, where do we see the margins expanding even from there? Or do we see that, you know, like you mentioned in the front end, that we are going to create infrastructure in the US, that a part of the, you know, margins will basically be invested into the front end? Just wanted to understand how the margin trajectory would be over the next few years.
Yeah, I would like to answer to this question. The margin comes not because of the market, but because of the model. If you look at the companies, most of the companies of our size, they export their product to the importer. if you sell your product to the importer buys products from many companies of our size. And all of us, even we did the same thing, and you know, we burnt our bridges, you know, it's a turnaround story. That's how we all understood that, you know, we should remove the intermediaries. Whether it is US or some other market, it's okay for the people who entered early. For them, actually, it was extraordinary. Today, the prices are eroded in every market. There is no market which you can say, you know, like you can come with a product and you are 100% sure of actually making a lot of money. So the models are the one which is going to give you the best returns. Everyone is not your customer. It's here that the concept of what we call an ideal lead comes in. This is a prospect who is interested in what you have to offer. So if you are offering something to the needy, as you know well, the only thing we call it as the only thing we call is permanent is change. In addition to that, there is one more thing which is permanent is poverty. If you have something in a form of a strategy to address actually his pain point, then this poor will become your creamy layer and that will give you the profits which we have already experienced in Central America. We'll do the same in the other parts of the world also. Yes, please.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of CA Garvit Goyal from Invest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
So my question is on the API expansion side. So are API expansion getting delayed quarter over quarter? I remember in quarter one FY23 con call, you mentioned about the inorganic facility expansion at YZ. So at that time, you mentioned that the inorganic expansion will be completed in 3 months and the organic will get completed in 15 months from then. Going forward, each quarter, you put a delay to the timelines. And now we are saying that the oncology API will get completed by Q1 FY25. And I think the exact thing is to be refurbished by Q3 FY24. What I am not understanding is that why such delays are happening. It is not like some COVID situation is there or any hindrance is there. Because CapEx are happening across the industries. So why are we not able to execute the projects in a timely manner? I understand 1 to 2 quarter delay might be there, but it almost, I think, 2 years delay, sir. So kindly put some color on it and give the firm timeline to the investor community by which these expansions will get completed and start contributing to the revenue or post-selling in case of it.
Which one is 2 years delay, please?
I think the question is on the lines of why the Vizag API plant. So, of course, I let Chairman Nandal ask this. I'll just clarify one point. A couple of years ago, we had the opportunity to acquire a company that was already into manufacturing intermediates and API, but towards the end of that, it fell through because of valuation mismatch and also the fact that we were not very comfortable in terms of turning that around into a regulated market plant. So we had to almost go back to the drawing board. So we lost around 1 year in that. And the rest of the thing timelines, I'll let Chairman answer this, please.
Yeah. This is not, as he rightly said, actually, this is not the facility which we told you sometimes back. And here, the one important thing, you know, this is a facility which we are trying to take it to the U.S. market for our formulation injectable. And later, we have also found there is an opportunity for us to go for OSD also, OSD, API for OSD. That's one of the reasons there is a slight delay in the form of 3-4 months. And you are also aware, actually, if you are a first generation entrepreneur and that you are a non-technical person, delays are bound to happen. But delays will not actually, in the form of actually, create issues to the company which disturbs the bottom line of the company. I don't think this is such a big issue in the form of that affects the bottom line of the company. And moreover, actually, this is not the factory which we have talked to you earlier.
Yeah, just to supplement Chairman's note, why we mean that this is not going to affect the company adversely or anything like that, these small delays, is that we are not derailing our projects or anything. Our R&D continues to go at a very high rate. And wherever we feel that the opportunity is time-bound, we actually buy the API from outside and we will use our own API as a secondary source. Which is why during the course of my speech, I explained most of the initial targets that we'll be focusing on in terms of DMF filing, etc., will be on secondary source. So technically, we're not really losing any time, even if it gets delayed by another quarter, the API project I'm talking about.
And one more issue is we don't borrow any money also from the bank because it has a cost to it, actually, in the form of interest or repayment of term loans. Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay. And sir, secondly, on the US growth, like in while I know you explained earlier as well, from quarter three, quarter four, I think the value to be double down. But the thing is there any specific reason why there is a YOY slower growth on the US side in this particular quarter? Or it's like we will get the further growth from the Q3 and Q4 from phase 2 and phase 3 only.
So as we explained, even prior to this, we've given a guidance that Q3 and Q4 are going to be much stronger compared to Q1 and Q2. This is specifically to do with the fact that we are going to be transferring many of our commercial products. As I said, over 70% of our commercial products are terminal sterilized products, and we will be transferring them onto this line 5. Now, line 5 individually has higher capacity than all the other couple of lines combined. Right. So number one. And number two, we also do balance our commercial products and exhibit products. So what happens is if you focus only on commercial products, what will happen is in 2025, our pipeline might start to look thin. You know, so we need to make sure that we have our longer horizon aspirations are in place and we're not missing out on some of these time-bound opportunities that we focus on. So quarter one and quarter two, as we explained before itself, is going to be slightly more moderate compared to three and four.
Sir, once again, I would like to repeat what I told you in course of my speech. A good result in the present is not an indicator of good result in future, but a good process is. So the process which I mentioned, that the COO and CFO mentioned, that really matters actually compared to what has actually is what exactly is missed, which is not something in the form of a big actually impact to the bottom line.
And lastly, sir, on the high cash balances, are you guys considering any kind of buyback to reward the shareholders in the terms of these high balances are basically generating lower return than you are generating from the businesses? So overall ROC is getting depleted, sir.
So we'll discuss it in the board meeting and take a decision.
Okay, sir. That's from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Alisha Mahawla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions. First question, in our opening commentary, did we mention that we won a tender for $4 million? And if yes, for which market is this?
It's actually not a tender in the market. $4 million is the business that we received for oncology products. And it's definitely a good business considering the size of actually the countries here. And then these are markets which are not regulated. It's ROW market. That's why I specifically mentioned the volume of the business really matters for a facility which we are planning to complete, say, 6 months from now, 1 year from now. That's why I mentioned.
Yes. So this order for Onco products, $4 million ROW market, will we start supplying from H2?
You are right. Some of them will start actually maybe 15 to 20 days from now, also some 7-8 products.
Okay. And just a clarification on phase 2 and phase 3 for Captain Sterile that we refer to. Phase 2 will be the vials and prefilled syringes facility which is coming, which is commercializing next quarter. And what will phase 3 be?
No, we're not commercializing PFS and the phase 2. In fact,
yeah, so, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. What will, by October, we are going to start. As I told you before, we are starting the line 5 in October. Of course, followed by, PFS will start. PFS is one, actually. See, anything that you start in PFS, you will have to do the scale-up and exhibit. Not that we are going to start the commercial there. So that will not create any impact to our bottom line because you will have to complete the scale-up exhibit and then you have to keep it in 6 months and file it and get the registration at a later date.
Yeah, As Chairman said, phase two has two lines, which is line 5, where there'll be direct commercial supply from there. And phase 3, right now we have one lyophilization line, which is a high-speed lyo line. And we have provision to add another 3 to 5 lines over there, which we've not yet decided on what goes, because we also want to make sure that we have complete control over the entire operations. We don't want to stretch ourselves too thin. So phase 3, as it stands, will have one lyo line and provision for additional injectable lines.
And phase 3 will come in Q4 of FY24.
So right now the physical completion of the structure is done, and we expect overall completion by March to June of next year.
So, and on our LATAM business currently, we've been talking since a while, entry in Mexico and Brazil, which, like you mentioned last time, will probably be some 1 to 2 year timeline. Is there any update on that? And for the next couple of quarters, will growth only be driven by this new onco order that we have received?
Yeah, Mexico and Brazil, mainly Mexico. Our focus will be on Mexico in the next 2 to 3 years. But the issue with Mexico, these are all markets which are actually, as you know well, it's a regulated market, probably next best after US and all. The time for registration, it takes long time. And then what happens, see, this is one country where when the product goes to the market, they keep the product at the port and get the product tested also. So we have to be very choosy in selecting the products. On one side, we are filing the dossiers, which we registered in US. On the other side, we are doing actually the market survey. That alone will help us to identify the right product for registration. These are markets which will take time. When we make it, these are the markets which will also change the change. It's going to be a game changer for the company in addition to what we do currently.
So contribution from new markets is not expected, say, this year or next year?
Yeah. New markets, currently what we are doing is we started doing business with smaller geographies, like actually in Southeast Asia, Cambodia and Laos. Then we started with Turkmenistan in CIS. And we are also doing business actually in Chile in bits and pieces, but this big business will start once we open our warehouse in Chile. And we are also getting some orders from Peru. Peru, we are increasing the number of registration. You see, the business which we do, and as I told you before, the maximum amount of business comes from countries where we have our stock and sale. That's a model which increases the profitability. That's the model which gives us actually sustenance and also scalability. So we will do business in the bigger geographies after we complete the registration. Smaller geographies, yes. In some countries where we do not want to go for actually our own warehouse, the reason being, for example, the import duty in countries like Peru is very high. Then your VAT also is quite high, which means in addition to investing in your own product, you'll have to invest also in duties and other things. If the profitability is quite high and if your number of registration is very high, then of course what we can do is we can take the products to a neutral warehouse. From there we can supply to the market. So we're working on various methodologies to get into this type of market. So simply doing business, yes, it's very easy to do the business, but that's not going to be lucrative. There the top line will grow, not the cash flow or bottom line. Yes, please.
Miss Alicia, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions as there are participants waiting for their turn. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address all questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Harshit Jhaveri from Pi Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my questions are answered.
Hi, it's not audible, please.
Mr. Jhaveri, please go ahead with your question. Your line has been unmuted.
my questions are answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Naysar Parekh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question was, on the emerging market side, can you give a sense of what is the growth in our top three markets? I'm just trying to understand because, we are entering a bunch of new markets. So how is our core growth on a like-to-like basis?
So I told you before, the new markets, mostly the bigger geographies, bigger markets, it takes its own time. Either, it is in the form of first selection of products, then of course the registration, as you know, well, it takes time also. Then we start the markets. Depends, as I told you, more that the markets is the model that gives you the profit and cash flow than the top line. So what we do is, we will continue to grow the way we are growing for the next 2 to 3 years. Afterwards, our growth will be manifold. That is for sure, because we will complete our facilities. And then some of the advantages this facility will create once we go for a vertical integration here. Even if you participate in CPHI, the visitors who come to CPHI will understand the difference between other companies and us. A company of our size will not have all actually in the form of starting from starting materials, intermediates, then formulations, then front-end persons in some areas, and also, CROs and everything. That gives us actually opportunity to choose the customer, even if it is actually not the warehousing model in the form of stock and sale. We can still choose the customer if he is preferred to buy a quality product, and he will definitely give us actually a better margin compared to some other generic players. So that we will continue to do our homework as the way we have been doing, and the growth will be something similar to what we have for our. It's better to know under promise and overachieve rather than giving you a number.
No, sorry, my question was a bit different. What I'm trying to understand is, if we exclude the new markets that you've entered in the last 12 months, what is the growth in your core emerging markets? So in your top five core emerging markets, what is the growth?
Last 12 months, of course, we have not entered in many markets. On the contrary, we increased the product portfolio. The growth has come mainly because of actually first, softgels, as I told you in the course of my speech. Second, the growth is happening because of some of the orders which we are getting actually in the oncology product. And if you look at actually the one country where we entered and we did a business of 200 crore is US. And there will be some 40 to 50% increase in US market in the current year. Other than that, our growth is coming mainly from the existing markets.
Got it. And from a distribution perspective, how do you see this share of direct sales increasing in the emerging markets? So where do you want it to be in the next 2-3 years?
You say direct sales from India to direct to the importers. Are you meant to say?
I think his question is towards our breakup of sales between wholesalers and distributors and retail.
Hello? Is it what you are trying to convey?
Yes, please.
No, that of course, this is one thing, we'd like, see, disclosing everything leads to self-optimization. Because what is important actually, how much is the sales we do that we want to convey. See, when I say what is the exact sales of actually distributors, retailer and other things in smaller geographies like, 5-6 countries, I think that will not be, I don't want to give you those details, which, helps some other competitors also. Your intention may be good, but at the end of the day, I'm sorry, we will not be interested to give that details, please. We are increasing the last mile connect. We are increasing the sale of actually retailers because we can remove the intermediaries in the form of importer and distributor. That's how the cash flow gets increased. If I give you the breakup I don't want to give you something which is false, and it's better to say, no, I don't want to disclose it. Don't mistake me, because that's our strategy.
Okay. No, what I was asking is that today you are around 20% is direct sales, right? So what I was trying to understand is that over the next 3 years, what is the potential for this direct sales? And when you go direct versus when you go through a distributor, is there a difference in terms of...
See, actually, the truth is that the breakup remains the same, and we are not going direct, right? We've always been direct in this market. From day one in Latin America, we've been directly present. So we need to create the right balance between what we have to do with regards to distributor sales, what we have to do with regards to retail sales. We don't also want to tread into each other's paths, and then, you know, one side becomes lopsided after that. And also, some of these places are not the safest places in the world as well, right? So you need to make sure the right amount of balance is struck. We would like to leave it at this stage, please. Like Chairman said, our focus has always been to hit the last mile, and that's something that we continuously work on. That's about it.
Okay. And on the mix, which is there, you know, between some of your specialty products and oncology. So going forward on in your emerging markets, you know, what percentage do you see coming from oncology from high potent APIs? If you could just throw some light over there.
So this are, most of the APIs is going to go for our own consumption. You will not be interested actually to commercialize to start with, because these are APIs when it adds value to a formulation when you go for your own front end. Initially, you will not chase economies of scale in the form of no manufacturing huge quantity of APIs. So it is difficult to quantify it. Overall, actually, the basket of formulation will get increased. So APIs plays a role in the form of actually captive consumption. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, the last question comes on the line of Rishabh Shah from Anubhuti Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, my question is, we'll be spending around 550 crores on CapEx in the next 1.5 years. Our FY23 operating profit is around 440 crores. So, which is enough to fund the CapEx. So why we are holding 800 crores of cash in our books, which is causing, you know, dent in our ROE from which ROE was roughly 46% in FY18 and which is 22% in FY23. So can't we consider, you know, rewarding shareholders in terms of providing a special dividend or a buyback?
Okay. Anyway, the first question is, you're right that, you know, we are planning to spend 550 crores to complete all the projects. The
yes.
Second one, rewarding the shareholders, one is short-term and long-term also. Short-term, of course, no, I think, you know, with the final dividend would be rewarding somewhere around 225% this year. And conserving the cash is going to help us in the long run in the form of going for actually inorganic growth. For example, if you find some companies, if you look at most of the companies which have grown, they have grown organically, then they started actually acquiring companies in the form of meaningful fit. So the money that we conserve now, one day, you know, it will help, that is going to help the shareholder in the long run.
Okay, but sir, our annual operating profit is sufficient enough to cover the capex, but so...
No, but some more, see, when I say inorganic, actually, opportunity, the inorganic opportunity can be in the form of 100 crore, can be in the form of 1,000 crore also. See, it all depends. We don't know what kind of opportunity we get. We'll cross the bridge when we reach there. When we get an opportunity, that's going to actually double the profit and cash flow more than the sale. You'd prefer to invest more also. That kind of a situation will happen maybe 4 to 5 years from now.
So we are looking for any inorganic growth? There is something in the pipeline?
We are looking for what?
Inorganic growth. Do you have any equation in the pipeline?
Any company, see, what will happen now, the balance is to consolidate and expand. Now consolidating, the consolidation in the form of actually completing the project and going for the best of the best talent And then, you know, you have to think of inorganic growth also. That's what happens in every industry, especially in pharmaceutical industry, you know.
Okay. Okay, understood. And sir, one more question. We have guided, we have achieved the target that we have guided that 2016 top line will be the bottom line of 2022. Same we have guided for 2028 also, that 2022 top line will be the bottom line of FY28. So can you share the how, what will be the path that we'll go through to achieve this target?
See, as we grow, actually, to tell you honestly, we will grow very, we will have a very healthy growth. And coming to this type of things, what happened in the past, it may not be repeated. But the growth actually in the form of what we have been growing, you know, and CAGR and other things will continue to be there. And it can even go beyond that also after 3-4 years. That is for sure. So year on year,
yes. My question was, the base has also increased. So growing on the
what is that,
higher base.
What is that increase that you said?
Sorry?
Tell me, sir, what
no,
is
he says the he says the base has also increased. So 2022, yeah, of course, was a much larger base. Yeah.
Yes.
That's
yes.
What I'm telling. When the base increases, it's not easy for us to give you a promise in the form of the top line of yesteryears will become the bottom line of future.
Okay, but yes, what will be the partner? How? What are your plans for the next 5 years?
I already told you in course of my speech. You know, the hour. See, what is important? This company is the current assets, current actually what you are doing in the current level. See, most of them, to put it very simply, the smaller geographies are the one who brought the company where it is today. Now the work in progress is in the form of all kinds of pharmaceutical formulation manufacturing, not all, in addition to API and others. That means the market will be larger as we go move forward. The factories will be bigger and we'll have the best of the best talent to manage the facilities. Then the markets and models also, which we told you, although the markets are bigger, it is the model of the business that makes us actually more profit and the cash flow also gets increased that way. So that's what I told you everything.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you everyone for joining the call. Thanks for Dolat Capital also to organize. It was a pleasure interacting with you all and we hope to remain in touch. Thank you very much.
Thanks to all of you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
On behalf of Dolat Capital, this concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us today and you may now disconnect your lines.